Well, I know that's something I have often wondered as a Christian, maybe you have too, is this. How can I tell the difference between being rightly convicted by God concerning some sin in my life versus wrongly allowing myself to get bogged down in feelings of condemnation? You know what I mean? I mean, sometimes I'm conscious that I have sinned, and I feel badly about that. I feel guilty, rightly so. I've offended the Lord. I feel ashamed. I feel the weight of the wrong that I have done before God. My friend, if you're a Christian, I assume you've experienced those feelings as well. And in a real sense, those are correct responses to having sinned against the holy God. But once you're there, once you're experiencing those kinds of feelings, what's next? Like, what's your next move as a Christian? And friend, that brings us to this morning's verse. Now, this morning we're going to be in Romans chapter 8, verse 1. It's probably one of the most important verses in the entire Bible, at least in my opinion. And when I found out last night at about 5 p.m. that I'd be preaching this morning, I thought to myself, well, what would be a good, encouraging, Christ-focused passage that I have already preached on a Sunday evening sometime in the recent past? And this one, as I was looking through my folder, pretty quickly became my favorite, so... Again, we're in Romans chapter 8, verse 1 this morning. If you're using the Pew Bible, you'll find that on page 1002. And friends, you may not even need to turn there. This may be one of those Bible verses that you've memorized accidentally over the years. But here it is, Romans 8, verse 1. Paul writes this. Therefore, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. So here at the start of chapter 8, Paul is summarizing the entire argument that he's made from the beginning of Romans, from chapter 1, all the way through the end of chapter 7. Everything he has said in this letter thus far. So about God's holiness, about man's rebellion and sin, about man's failure to attain righteousness by keeping God's law. And probably most importantly, about God's grace and mercy in sending Jesus so that we might be saved, not by keeping the law, but by faith in Jesus. All of that serves as the backdrop for what Paul says here at the start of Romans chapter 8. And that's why he says, therefore, given everything I've just said, something is true. And something really, really important at that. So what follows this therefore? He says, there is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. That's his summary. That's his point thus far with everything he's written. So friends, Paul's main point here is pretty clear. So if you're looking for a central point to hang this morning's little mini sermon on, here it is. Through Christ, God no longer sees you as a lawbreaker to be punished, but as a dearly loved child. Through Christ, God no longer sees you as a lawbreaker to be punished, but as a dearly loved child. And you may be thinking, well, that's pretty basic. That's what we get for our New Year sermon. Yes, that is what you get for your New Year sermon. And you're absolutely right. It is pretty basic. But friends, let's not fool ourselves. Just because it's basic doesn't mean we don't struggle with remembering it. Or with believing it when we do remember it. So we need to be reminded again and again and again. Because brothers and sisters, this verse is the very heart of the effects, the consequences of what Jesus Christ has done for us in the gospel. So as sweeping, as universal as the consequences of the gospel are, they begin right here. They begin right here with you and me as individuals having a radically changed relationship with God. So with the short time we're going to spend here this morning, I want to just try to unpack that core fact about all of us here this morning who are trusting in Jesus Christ by making two applications. And here is application number one. Understand that God is well pleased with you now. Understand that God is well pleased with you now. So this point's going to be the shorter of the two, although this morning that's almost a meaningless statement. They'll both be short. But I think it would be good for us to think a little bit about what Scripture has to tell us about how God views us now. You know, on the other side of his having forgiven us and grafted us into the living vine that is Jesus Christ. Now, friends, I know this wasn't always the case, the fact that we are in Christ by faith. Even our verse reminds us that all of these things are true for us now, but only because of the gospel, right? There is no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. So, brothers and sisters, there was a time that that was not us. There was a time where we were under God's condemnation. There was a time when God was rightly angry with you and with me for living in rebellion against him and his holy law. There was a time when we were not in Christ Jesus. There was a time that we were living in sin and ignorance. There was a time when we, if we want to use Jesus' words from John chapter 3, were under God's condemnation already. But through the cross and the resurrection, God has rescued us from all of that. He has set us free from the prison of his right and good condemnation of us that we would have deserved. And he did all of that at the cost of the life of his beloved son. So brothers and sisters, listen to me now. He did that so that we would respond by living a life that displays the great freedom that he's purchased for us. So he wants us to live now and with the rest of the days he gives us in light of that glorious liberation from sin and guilt and despair that he has given us through Christ Jesus. So with that as the background, when God sees us now, having been united to Jesus by faith, what does he see? What does he see? He sees that he himself has cleansed us from all unrighteousness. He sees that he's blotted out all of our sins. He's cast our sins into the depth of the sea, and he sees you and me now as white as snow. Our transgressions have been removed as far from us as the east is from the west. He's given us eternal life together with him. So we've been transferred from the kingdom of darkness into the kingdom of his beloved Son. He's made us new creations, as we heard as Mark read earlier. And now God is abounding in steadfast love towards us. We're his children now. And while we don't yet fully know what we will be when he appears, we know that we will be like him. We know that we can come to him and receive mercy and find grace to help us in time of need. We know that he will sustain us, that he will never permit us to be moved from this position that he has fixed us in. We know that God rejoices over us with gladness. His word says that. He quiets us by his love. He exults over us with loud singing. Brothers and sisters, through faith in Christ, we are blessed in every one of these ways and so many more that we don't have time to recount all of them today. And all of these things that I've just said about our status as those who are righteous before God, covered by the blood of Christ, friends, you may know this already. Every one of those things was either a quote or a close paraphrase of what God's word says about you and me if we are in Christ. So, brother or sister, do you believe that those things are true of you? You should, because God has said them. So friend, believe him, not yourself. Pray that he'd give you a growing trust that these things is really and actually how God views you every moment of your life. Some weeks ago in Mark's gospel, we heard this man pray to Jesus, to ask Jesus. He said, I believe, help my unbelief. Friends, that's the kind of prayer we need to pray about who we are in Christ. So having said all of that as a foundation, let me lead us in a second application from this verse. So here's application number two. Stop trying to earn God's approval. Stop trying to earn God's approval. Some of you are looking at me funny. I trust that we'd all agree that through faith in Jesus, we've been freed from the need to try to earn our salvation through our own efforts to keep God's law, right? I trust we all know that God's law, good and holy and perfect as it is, actually condemns us, stands against us, because we haven't kept it perfectly as we would need to. So friends, we know that those are all theologically true statements, but brothers and sisters, don't we regularly just fall back into that way of life, that former way of looking at life, and that wrong way of looking at God? It's easy to forget that we are saved by grace, through faith, alone. Alone. And to fall back into trying to somehow merit God's love by, you know, being good. So what would it look like in our lives to have fallen back into a law-keeping, you know, salvation-earning pattern of living? What might that look like? It could look like a number of things. It might look like you feeling that maybe that physical pain that you suffer with regularly is some kind of punishment from God for your having lived unfaithfully before him, either recently or maybe sometime in the past. It might look like that. It could look like you feeling that the problems in your marriage that you're currently walking through are God's response to your having sinned in some way. This law-keeping way of living could look like you're seeing difficulties that you're having with the child as being God's vindictive response to your having failed him in some way. It could look like you feeling that you're not having the family situation that you want is somehow traceable to your having sinned against God in the past. It could look like you're feeling that God is looking to punish you because of some area where you're struggling to exercise self-control in your life. It could even look like you thinking that you had a bad day today at work or at school or at home because you didn't spend time reading the Bible and praying this morning. And friends, that condemnation-fearing way of life doesn't necessarily have to be entirely individual. Friends, that can happen to a church as well. Members of La Plata Baptist Church, 2021 was a hard year for this church, as it was for many churches. And that followed on the heels of 2020, which was a hard year for this church, as it was for many. And that year followed on the heels of 2019, which was a hard year for this church. So friend, if you've been here during those hard years, I assume that at some level you all feel that. I know the elders feel that. And friends, we could corporately respond to criminal activity and sickness and relational distancing and death that has happened. We could respond to the spiritual disengagement of some of our church's members that we can see. We could respond to the physical, bodily troubles that many of us are now facing, maybe even this morning. And friends, we could, as a church, fall into thinking that these things are happening because God is unhappy with us because of our failings. And friends, to that way of thinking, whether individually or corporately, I just want to respond by saying this. There is now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. All of your sin from the life that you led before Jesus saved you, all of that rebellion against him, and all of your failures since you have come to put your faith in Jesus Christ, all of your failures to love God as you should have, all of the times that you knew what was good and true, and you chose to follow your own will instead of God's. Brothers and sisters, all of those times that you have failed God, you know how God has responded to all of that? He forgave us all our sins, having canceled the charge of our legal indebtedness, which stood against us and condemned us. He has taken it away, nailing it to the cross. Brothers and sisters, that is the truth of who you are. And that is the truth of who we are as a church. That's the objective reality of our situation. So praise the Lord for that. There really is no condemnation for us now. Friends, it's not like Jesus was hanging on the cross and thinking, man, if only I'd known Chris was going to sin against me like that, man, I never would have agreed to die for him. No, friends, he knew all of my sins and my failures, every single one of them, first to last, even the ones I haven't even committed yet that I don't even know about. And even so, he chose to love me and to love me by enduring the cross for me. So Christian, because of the advent of Jesus Christ, because of the gospel, our standing before God has entirely and completely ceased to be about our performance. Through the cross and the resurrection, Christian, our standing before God, our being loved by him and accepted by him and adopted by him, it is 100% entirely and only because of the performance of Jesus Christ. And Jesus lived a perfect life in our place for us when we never would have, when we never could have. So Christian, all of those ways that you have failed to keep God's law, that you have failed God himself, his heart towards you remains nothing but loving and merciful and gracious and good all the time, every day. And nothing can ever change that. And if you don't believe me, go home and read the rest of chapter 8 this afternoon. So friends, let's stop trying to earn God's approval. Yes, it is good and it is right for us to pursue faithfulness, to pursue obedience. Of course. Please don't mishear me. But friends, be on guard against any kind of mentality that says that God will like me or God will like me more if I do X, Y, or Z today. And friends, let's let this truth lead us to a deep and abiding restfulness, peace in our souls, one that looks at our sin and looks at our failures before God and says what John Newton said once. He said, "I am a great sinner." Great meaning big. I am a great sinner. Christ is a great Savior. That's what we need to remember. Friends, this verse is well known, but sometimes we forget it, and sometimes we don't believe it. But you know what? There really is no condemnation now for those who are in Christ Jesus. We just celebrated the beginning of a new year yesterday. Friends, let's prayerfully commit to make 2022 a year when we grow in actually believing that God is now fully and completely pleased with us through our being united to Christ by faith. And then let's respond to that truth by identifying areas of our lives where it seems like we might be striving to earn God's approval. Let's see if we can find those areas. And let's ask God for grace to cease and desist, to stop that striving, remembering that we already have God's approval in its fullness through Christ. Praise God for his eternal goodness to us in Christ. Let's pray. Father, we confess to you that so often we lack peace in our lives. So often we lack joy in our lives because we're looking at ourselves. Father, we're staring at ourselves, and what we see there is sin. And what we see there is so often failure. What we see there so often is still rebellion. And so, Lord, we pray that you would get our eyes off of ourselves and cause us to set our eyes on Jesus Christ, his perfection, his beauty, his glory. And to remember, Father, that you have united us to him. And so everything that he inherits as the Son of God, Lord, we are co-heirs with him. All of your love for Jesus, Lord, that same love is the love that you love us with. God, help us to know this and to believe it more and more. And God, give us more rest and peace in our hearts. Lord, we ask that you would accomplish this by your Spirit and by your word. We pray it in Jesus' name. Amen.